And how do you find the parents relate to those goals? You know, do you have the parents that, you know, are in your little Johnny's ear all the time, or do you, as part of your goal setting process, do you drag the parents aside and say, "Hey, look, you're not reliving your swimming life. This is for your son or daughter." Or what steps do you sort of take to try and keep the parents involved, but not overly involved, so to speak?
I mean, I think it's a case of just constantly educating the parents as well as the swimmers. I mean, so for instance, we have meetings with the parents and swimmer together where I get to talk to them, they get to talk to me about how they're feeling. Therefore, any concerns that they have, for instance, which might relate to what you just said, ambitions for their own children, I can address at the time and really educate them on long-term athlete development. So it's not all about just doing the best now, it's about nurturing them to be the best possible athlete that can be in the long term. So yeah, those parents meetings, both individual parents and swimmers meetings and parents meetings as a whole, with the whole club membership, we can basically educate them in that way and say, this is what we're aiming to do, this is what we want from our swimmers, this is how we're going to achieve those goals, this is what we need from you as parents to do.
No, that yeah, sounds good. So, with your seasonal outlook, I'm assuming you'd have targeted carnivals as well, or do you just, you know, I know being based in country New South Wales, it's a bit of a learning curve for some of the parents out this way. They sort of think swimming is a thing that you just do every weekend. Like every weekend, we just go to a carnival for 6 months of the year. That's what we do. We just go out and we'll go to this carnival and that carnival. And then they come back to some coaches and they'll go, well, little Toby didn't do well, or little Johnny didn't do well, or my daughter was swam terrible. So do you guys have targeted carnivals, or do you just, how do you guys run your seasonal program?
Yeah, we do have targeted competitions. Yeah, we do definitely. We would highlight them in our annual plan, to be honest with you. So I have an overall annual plan and our target competitions there. As well of those, we have what I call preparation competitions. So not every competition is a target one. Some of them we will just continue training as normal through it, and it's more competition experience. But I think, particularly at the younger age, even the targeting meets, you use more to experience than to actually performing. So, I mean, at a young age, PBs, yeah, they might be due to training, but they also might be due to growth or anything. And similar, not achieving a PB might be due to a growth spurt at that time affecting them. So I think at that point, it's important for parents to know that basically, yeah, we're doing these meets, but it's not all about winning and just performing. It's about these swimmers gaining the experience to get better at competing, basically. It's all about the process rather than the outcome at the young age. I mean, as they get older, these targeting meets become a little bit more important in a way, because at the older age, you are actually saying, yeah, we want to achieve this at these target meets. We'll taper our training for this target meet. And yeah, once again, it's about education at that point. We're going to train through this meet because it's not a target meet. And then here's our target meet. That's what we're going to taper for. That's what our training is building up to. So, yeah. It works in slightly different ways depending on age. But overall, yeah, we do have target meets. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, looking back over your coaching career, what would you say would be one of the hardest things you've had to do, or you know, what's an example of where you were completely lost and sort of, you know, you had no idea of how to sort of take the next step forward? You know, have you had an experience like that? Just because I'd like, you know, other coaches to be able to watch this and go, oh, geez, I'm not the only one that had to do that, or oh, okay, well, I'm up to that now. What, you know, I can try XYZ, for example.
I guess it's one aspect of seeing my biggest fear since I started this process come to life. So, for instance, once the club lost all its swimmers and once we started rebuilding this new regime, my biggest fear has been the same thing happening, swimmers leaving, going elsewhere, and us being right back to where we started again. And in order to keep clearly talented swimmers in our program, despite the fact our program's lost its reputation, has been challenging in some respects, because we've got a very good selection of talented swimmers, but I have the feeling, and I believe this came to light once, only once, luckily, in the 4 years I've been coaching, where swimmers look at another club that's performing better, not due to the training they're doing, but due to the fact that they've already got that reputation and they've got these numbers already, the strength and depth. And I look there and say, what are they doing right that we're not doing, basically? Now, I've had three swimmers who were quite closely related leave when this happened. Well, I believe several different reasons were given to me why they left, but I solely believe that this was the reason that I thought the grass was greener on the other side, that this club that was in Division One at the top was basically where they needed to be in order to progress. From there, I thought, wow, these swimmers were part of this regime. They were talented swimmers, hardworking, and they'd have gone because they didn't trust what we were doing. But at that point, my fear was, who else is going to follow them? But no one else has at all, because I know we've got a good selection of talented swimmers who really believe in what we're doing, who are really engaged with us. So it's just a case of, I believe, not taking things personally. That's probably been my biggest stumbling block, yeah. The biggest thing that's made me feel lost, taking things like that very personally. At the end of the day, it's not personal. I read something, nothing's personal even when it is. Which is kind of true in a way. Once you analyse it, it is true. So I just stood back, looked at it objectively. I know even at elite level, swimmers leave clubs, so it happens. Got on with the collection of brilliant swimmers we've got at the moment, and have still, despite losing these swimmers, made steps forwards, made clear objective progress. So, yeah.
It's a very hard issue to try and, as a coach, it's a very hard issue to try and come to grips with as well. I know I've had kids go from our program and go to other programs, and you're left thinking, especially if you don't, if the parents don't communicate with you, you're left thinking, what did I do? Did I say something? Did I not do the right thing? Is there something, they wanted to work on that I wasn't working on? But in saying that, do you think as well, at your current level of development, do you think you can only take a swimmer so far and then they have to go to somewhere else to try and get that next step up? Or do you think that, that loyalty and that trust that you've built up, you should be able to carry that swimmer all the way to, as far as they can go? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Definitely. I mean, I know within our program at the moment. We are limited on exactly how far we can take them. So for that reason, we've got talent clubs, for instance. There's a club called City of Birmingham or the Royal Wolverhampton in our area, which doesn't compete against other clubs in the same way we do, and takes on the most talented swimmers from other clubs when they've reached their full potential within their program. So basically, these swimmers will still compete for the club that they had grown within. But we'll train within the talent club, if that makes sense. So yeah, we do create links with these talent clubs, and when a swimmer on our pool time with our resources have gone as far as they can go, then we send them off to that talent club, knowing we've still got that link with that swimmer, but obviously we can allow them to take that next step and reach their full potential.
No, that's interesting to know, because I know where I am, we don't have that sort of that progression of club. We more or less each town or area will have, one club or multiple clubs or whatever. And that swimmer, may go off to university eventually or may, but they'll go into development camps and they'll go to different training squad sessions, but primarily they'll still be part of the club they came from. So they don't actually change clubs as much, but it's very hard to try and get those swimmers to develop and grow, especially when, they can't just pack up and move. The next club might be 2 hours away, or especially in regional area where I'm based, our towns are at least an hour apart. The town I'm currently in has only got one club. The next town over has got four. So, another town that's an hour away as well has only got one. Being a few hours from Sydney, it's very hard for swimmers to go, well, there's this club in Sydney that's doing XYZ, and obviously the hours that are involved in training, you can't sort of just, jobs for parents and everything like that. The whole aspect comes into play, and it's a bit tricky. But so where we are with our program is, we have kids that are starting to grow as well and starting to get bigger and faster and stronger and all the rest of it. It's just interesting to know that that there is that second tier in other countries that that these kids can go on, and something maybe the Australian community for swimming can look at. So, but yeah, all right, cool. So, what else? What other advice would you give a coach just starting? Like, what's would you do? You think they should do more theoretical stuff before they start coaching, or do you think they should do more practical, or what's, you know, if you could go back and go through the ideal training program, what do you think you could do?
I'd say both theoretical and practical. I think a combination of both is very important. I mean, yeah, I think the way I learned, looking back on it, just literally reflecting on it just now, was quite ideal, really. I learned to swim, I got to build my foundations, my core, and then to progress on to coaching. I think my progression's been quite linear and quite structured, which is really, really good. I think for anyone just starting out in coaching, yeah, both theory and practical is really important combined. I think a good mentor is really, really important. Someone experienced and successful who can, and I was lucky enough to have that from a few different people actually, and still have it now, which is really good. Someone experienced and mentor who can see a coach on a regular basis, give you advice, and work with you basically. Both on your theoretical aspects and your practical aspects. So it's really important, you know, what you should be doing with these swimmers, based on their specific stage of development. So you're not giving them inappropriate work, you're giving them the most appropriate work to allow them to achieve the best they can in the long term. But at the same time, though, you need to know how to deliver it practically as well. So it's not just about telling them what to do and letting them get on with it. There's the feedback, the motivation, the constant communication, that's really, really important. So yeah, theory, practical, help from a mentor, is really, really important. Yeah, and I'd say that goes alongside going on a training course, definitely.
Okay.